This is Digital Story Podcast number 748, July 21st, 2020. Today's theme is Time to Think About Workshops or Just Too Darn Early. I'm Derek Story. Back in March 2020, when we first sheltered in place, many hoped that we could put a lid on this pandemic. But now, months later, we still find ourselves in the heat of battle. With two physical workshops remaining on the books, I decided to listen to what you think about these upcoming events. And I hope that you'll participate in our listener poll. I hope you enjoy the show. So thinking about outdoor workshops, there are some advantages to them. First of all, you're outdoors. Yay, we know that that's a good thing. And so if you have physical distancing while you're working outdoors, then you know you can do a lot of stuff with other people and still be within talking distance. However, the thing about it is when you really start to get into the nitty-gritty of these things, there are other logistics to consider as well. Aside from travel, which is, you know, how do you get there? If you're in your own car, that's great, but if you have to do some sort of public transportation, that's not as great. What do you do about meals? You know, do we all eat together? Or do we all, you know, disperse? How about class sessions? Do we just hold them outdoors? Can we have them in a room? You know, so when you really start thinking about all these things, then you go, wow, there is a lot going on to these. And it's funny, before all of this, before 2020, these were things that I never thought about. I was thinking always in terms of comfort and efficiency. How can I get the best food possible? How can I make them as comfortable as possible? How can we do the most, you know, picturesque shoots as possible? Never thinking about, okay, how do I keep them apart a certain distance? Do they need to wear masks? How much hand sanitizer do I have to have? Oh my gosh. Funny how things change, right? So I have two events still in the books. I have canceled two events. We canceled Humboldt County, and we also canceled Lassen Volcanic National Park. Both of those, we didn't really have a choice because we weren't allowed to stay in the county. In other words, both counties said that if you're not already here, you can't stay here. And so that pretty much ends that. However, I have remained hopeful for the Eastern Sierra workshop, October 1 through 3. It's really set up nicely in terms that, you know, a lot of people can drive there. We're out in some very open air. There are individual rooms. We're not staying together. So, you know, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to leave that one. I'm just going to put a bookmark there. Just put a bookmark there on October 1 through 3 and see how things pan out. So that one is still there. And then there's a second event on the books that I haven't even talked about yet because of all this craziness. And this was an event that photographer Rob Knight and I cooked up in January while we were in Costa Rica. We go, wouldn't it be cool if we combined the way that you and I do workshops? Because Rob, I don't know if you've ever worked with Rob Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. He is a great photographer. He's an Olympus educator. He, you know, he knows his stuff. And boy, when it comes to nature photography, he gets it done. He really does. And then I was going to bring, you know, the stuff in that I'm really strong at, which is, you know, the classroom stuff, doing the presentation, helping people, you know, really, you know, get excited about their images, get feedback on their images, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we cooked up this beautiful week-long workshop, January 10 through 17 in 2021. I actually have a link to the page in the show notes. You can go there and really see what's going on. And if you go there and look at it, you're going to go, oh my gosh, I would love to do that. But I haven't announced it because, well, guess why? Because of this stuff going on. So I decided, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I really need to hear what you think about these things. Now, this is whether you decide to come or not. Let's just say that you had the money and you had the time and that given those conditions, would you consider either of these workshops? So I put a poll on our Patreon site, but I opened it up to everyone. So anyone can participate. You don't have to be an Inner Circle member. You don't have to be a member of Patreon. You don't have to do any of that. The link to it is in the show notes. It's in the show notes and you can go there. And it's basically five options for this poll. The first option being, I think with the proper safety precautions that both the October and the January workshops could be done. And then the second option is, well, I'm not so sure about the October workshop, but the January workshop seems reasonable, again, giving safety precautions. And then we get into, you know what? I don't think either workshop is feasible given the conditions. The fourth choice is, I'm just going to wait until there's a vaccine before I do any event traveling. And then the last choice is, you know, darn it, I just don't know. Things change so quickly. Now, our Patreon members are already chipping away at this poll. Thank you very much, Patreon members, for getting the ball rolling. So when you go over there, you will already see kind of what's trending and what's going on. There are comments there. So, you know, there's already some interesting information there. But I really want to hear what you think, what you think. And I want, unlike some political polls that happen where people say what they think the pollster wants to hear, instead of saying what they really think or what they would really do, what I want to hear, what I want to see on our poll, because look, we're a community, we're friends, we're peers, we're comrades. I want to hear what you really think, not what you think I want to hear, okay? That part is super important because I'm actually going to make some decisions based on the outcome of that poll. That poll is going to be a factor in my overall decision process. And I have to tell you, it's going to be a very important factor because why am I doing these workshops? I'm doing them for you. So if you want them, then I'm going to see if I can make them happen. If you're thinking, you know what, I'm going to wait until it's safer, until there's a vaccine, until things settle down a bit, I need to hear that as well, because then I will do the same thing. I've got lots to do here. I am staying very busy in the studio and I can make things work. I have already figured out how to make things work without doing the physical workshop. So this is something that we do because we want to do it, because, you know, we enjoy doing it. And whether we do it in 2020, whether we don't do it until the second half of 2021, I am fine with all of that, because when we do it, and we will get to have these again someday, then it's going to be epic, right? It's going to be great. There's going to be so much pent-up stuff that, I'm looking forward to that day. Let me put it that way. But right now, we have a different task at hand. And the task right now is for as many of you as possible to go to that link in the show notes. The link is time to start thinking about workshops, ? You'll see it right there in the show notes. You can just go to patreon.com, you know, The Digital Story. Do that as well. However, it's just easier because the link in the show notes will take you directly to the poll. You don't have to search around for it. And we know where the show notes are, right? Digitalstory.com. Podcast is at the top. Click on the picture, take you to the show notes, and then you can navigate from there. I am very curious to hear what you think. I mean, I love information. I love working with, you know, data that is real and solid. And I think what you all can contribute to this process, to what happens for us as a community over the next 6 months, is vital to our success. It really is. Like I said, I can do online workshops from now to the end of time. I have plenty of ideas. I got plenty of things to work on. I've got all the tools I need here at the studio. And this studio is pandemic proof. Cannot get in here because I am the only one that goes in and out of this place right now. The cat's here already, but she doesn't wander outside either. and she is socially distant from the world. Okay, so I really appreciate it. I'm going to thank you ahead of time for your help on this. Time to think about workshops or just too darn early? Let me know what you think. Go over to our reader poll, please, please. Speaking of feedback, last week I talked about reviewing the TDS podcast on Apple Podcasts. A number of you went over and did that, and thank you so much. So those of you that went over and posted reviews, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. As I mentioned last week, it's very important for us to have current reviews on the podcast so that when people find us via search, they go, oh, okay, this is happening. Someone just posted a review a week ago or 2 weeks ago or whatever. It's super helpful because then they go, this thing is current and this thing is alive. So big thanks to those of you that did post reviews. If you haven't posted a review for this podcast yet and you feel so moved to do so and you listen to it on Apple Podcasts, I would appreciate you doing that. Again, it really helps keep our community alive and vibrant, brings new people into it. It is just good all the way around. And again, thank you to the folks that took the time to go over there to do just that. I'm now writing on Medium. So those of you that know about Medium.com, it's really it's a wild place, isn't it? It's a place really where writers from all disciplines covering all subject matter post their stuff to share with the world. There is an app. There's an iOS app. There's an Android app. You can get to it on the web. And you can, you know, set what topics you're interested in, what sort of things you like reading about. And then every day, there it is. You have a feed and you have all sorts of interesting stuff to look at. It's really a lot of fun. And it's a good way to learn about different topics that maybe, you know, aren't your thing. Like, for instance, if movie making or if a review of Hollywood films or if you feel like you're not up to speed on culture, you know, that kind of stuff, then you just pick that category. And then every day Medium is going to have stories for you to read by writers who are very immersed in those very topics. So I decided that I was going to start posting a story there once a week on Medium.com. I'm already set up. I'm at Derek Story is my handle there. So you could just go to medium.com/@, you know, the at sign Derek Story, or you could go to the link in the show notes as always. And you can see what I've been up to. And this is stuff that for the most part, I'm not publishing anywhere else. So for example, some of the stories that I have there that I've put up over the last few weeks, one is how IBIS, I-B-I-S, saved the day, the night. And in that story, I talk about photographing the comet with a 6-second handheld exposure with my Olympus EM1 Mark II and came away with the shot in a pinch. I didn't have time to set up the tripod because the clouds were racing in. And I needed a shot to urge all of you for the podcast to go out there and shoot it. So that story is there. Another story from LA to San Francisco, 61 days in a different world. It's a story that starts with our March workshop based out of Los Angeles, where we were there right before the door closed on shelter in place. And we were out on Venice Beach. And we were taking pictures of these people and, you know, really just starting to see the beginning of the effects of the pandemic. And then weeks later, or right before it was lifted, I went to San Francisco and I shot there. Very similar sort of shoot, but I approached it completely different because things were completely different. So I wrote about that story. That's on Medium. Another story that I have there, my 10 years with Olympus cameras. I wanted to talk about my very beginning with Micro Four Thirds and mirrorless, Olympus mirrorless, because I was in on it from the beginning. And I thought with the announcement of the sale to JIP that this was a good time to just really sort of celebrate, you know, this last decade of using these cameras. Not that Olympus is going away, or not that mirrorless has any problems, or that Micro Four Thirds is, you know, there's a death knell for that. None of that. It just seemed like a good time to celebrate my time with Olympus and mirrorless cameras. It has been a wonderful run, and I'm still using them and plan on it for quite some time. So if you're interested in these topics and you want to see some writing from me that is different than what I put on the blog post, there's a little different style I'm using there, a little different audience, a broader audience, then go over to medium.com, you know, click on the link in the show notes. Again, it's at Derek Story. Follow me if you care to. If you like the story, make sure you clap for it. That's what they have, claps. And I promise you, I'm going to keep posting there week after week with some interesting stuff. I've got a lot of ideas worked up for that particular platform. I hope I see you there, and I'm really enjoying it a lot. Canon's 5D DSLR line is dead. This is a report, kind of a dramatic headline there. This was an article on petapixel.com. I have the link to the entire article. Let me just read you the first few paragraphs there, and then I'll talk about it. If you love the Canon 5D Mark IV DSLR and have been waiting for its successor to be announced, brace yourself for a big disappointment. Canon has reportedly decided to discontinue its popular and pioneering 5D line of cameras. Canon was, as recently as October 2019, said to be working on the 5D Mark V for a release by the end of 2020. But with a big push toward mirrorless cameras and the industry struggling with economic devastation caused by COVID-19 pandemic, it seems that the camera has now been erased from Canon's roadmap. Canon Rumors is hearing from a reliable source that there will not be a 5D Mark V and that there will be no direct successor to the 5D Mark IV. Canon Rumors. I just underline that Canon Rumors is hearing from a reliable source. This is not verified, okay? All right, next. The original Canon 5D was announced in 2005 and was the first full-frame DSLR with a standard DSLR size as opposed to the double-grip form factor of the 1D line. In 2008, Canon announced the 5D Mark II. By the way, I had both the Mark I and the Mark II. I loved them both, which made a huge splash as the first Canon EOS camera to offer video recording capabilities. And boy, was it embraced as such. So, the rumor is the 5D line of cameras is ending with the Mark IV. Now, on one level, that makes perfect sense to me for the very reasons cited here. If you just look at what Canon is rolling out in their mirrorless lineup with camera bodies, lenses, and accessories, that is a lot of stuff. I mean, they are working overtime in this area. So in my mind, in my business mind, it does make sense, you know, to say that they're probably not going to release another 5D because those resources are going into, you know, the R series right now. Basically, what you can get, what they've announced in the mirrorless lineup is the heart and soul of the 5D anyway. Okay. Now, I do think that we will see DSLRs from Canon, they might just go with the pro level. I don't think we're going to see a lot of consumer stuff, but they'll probably go with the pro stuff. They will probably keep that going. Nikon did it. We'll see what Canon decides to do. But even though this is a rumor, I would guess that this is probably true and that we have seen the end of the 5D run, and boy, was it a good one. All four cameras in that run were excellent cameras. I had the first two, and then I switched over to mirrorless. Thank you very much, Canon, for that 5D lineup. It has been a blast. We'll see what happens if Canon ever makes the actual official announcement. But my suspicion is that we may have seen the last of the five bees. Now, on the flip side of this story, this is interesting that they both kind of came out in the same time frame. Pentax doubles down on DSLRs, quote, "There is simply no substitute." And you can read that entire article on digitalcameraworld.com, and I have the link to the full article in the show notes. Let me read you what they have to say. On social media, Pentax has been teasing a statement about its future. Now, the manufacturer has revealed its statement, and it is simple. Quote, "Pentax believes in the future of SLR photography. It is the latest in a long line of messages from the company eschewing a mirrorless future in favor of DSLRs, a strategy that seems increasingly questionable in a world where every other major manufacturer has put its eggs in the mirrorless basket." We'll get to that in a minute. The company launched a microsite dedicated to extolling the virtues of SLR cameras and specifically the optical viewfinder, which Pentax is positioning as the key of its entire product line. Quote, "Pentax is committed to the future of SLR photography through the continued development of camera technology," states the strange new site. That's a little editorializing there. And the pro-SLR anti-mirrorless statement is echoed in an accompanying new promotional video. Well, I think we know what Digital Camera World thinks about this decision. Final quote here. "It is such a joy to use an SLR that there is simply no substitute for this style of shooting." So there have been other articles on this very topic and some good discussion around it. I've actually enjoyed, you know, reading this topic and what people have had to say. And I actually think that Pentax is making the right move here. I honestly do. Those of you that have been listening to the podcast, you know I have not one, but a couple Pentax DSLRs. I have Pentax film bodies. I have a lot of Pentax glass that I just love. So I enjoy shooting with Pentax cameras. They are my APS-C cameras. I don't shoot with their full frames, and I like them very much. You know, I really do. I think, though, that this is a good decision in the sense that if Pentax entered the mirrorless realm right now, I don't think they would be successful. Just look at what Canon's putting out. Just look at what Nikon has. Look at what Olympus is still putting out. Look at what Panasonic's doing. Look at what Fujifilm is doing. Look at what Sony is doing. My word, I mean, you know, this is like entering a fish tank full of barracudas if you're Pentax, right? If they were going to do mirrorless, they would have had to do it a long time ago. They made kind of a half-hearted attempt, but that didn't work out for them. So, first of all, I think DSLRs are the path going forward. Now, those who shoot with Pentax will also understand that, you know, the K-mount is sort of key to all of this. Because one of the things that most Pentax shooters like is that you can use a lens from 1979 on your modern DSLR and it works great. And so there is this huge catalog of vintage glass, of new glass, you know, of glass from all stages over the last 50 years that you can use on your camera, on whichever camera you want. And that's a lot of fun. And that is one of the things that pulled me into Pentax was that I could use my 50 millimeter f1.4 manual focus Pentax lens, which is a beautiful lens. I could use it on my DSLR KP and just shoot away and have a great time. I have all sorts of really cool Pentax lenses. I have a lot of vintage glass, but my current glass is actually quite good as well. So I think just keeping the K-mount is really wise for them because they're, you know, and you could get Pentax glass very affordable on the aftermarket, the older stuff, and really have a lot of fun. Another thing is that trends really do tend to come and go, not only in photography, but really in all sorts of different areas in culture. and that there very well could be a swing back to DSLRs at some point. I'm not saying there will be, I'm not predicting this, but I'm not eliminating this possibility either. That 4 years from now, for example, suddenly someone rediscovers, some high-profile photographer rediscovers DSLRs using an optical viewfinder, really starts singing its praises, and then suddenly, wow, people start getting excited about DSLRs again. You never know, right? If that were to happen or something like that were to happen, then Pentax could say, hey, we've been here all along, and we have continued to develop the optical viewfinder, and look what you can get. If you want to go back to an optical viewfinder, look what you can get with us. And we have this phenomenal thing that superimposes and does all this kind of stuff. So that's another point. And then the last point, and I read this online, I didn't think of this point, but I read it online and I liked it, which is, what if Pentax, because of the came out, and because there are all these lenses available, what if they came out with a modern day 35 millimeter film camera to complement what they're doing on full frame digital and on APS-C digital? Wouldn't that be cool? And especially if it was something very interesting and it took all the lenses, right, that were available in the entire Pentax catalog. I have to say, that does sound kind of appealing to me, because no one else is doing that. You know, no one else, you know, is crazy enough to do that, but Pentax might be just crazy enough to do such a thing. So this is fun stuff to think about. You know, the bottom line for Pentax is that the DSLR is the horse they are going to have to ride off into the sunset one way or another. I don't think there's many options for them outside of the DSLR. They clearly love it. Those of us that shoot with their DSLRs love them. So let's see what happens over the next few years. I think it's really going to be a matter, can they just hang on to enough market share to keep developing stuff? And then if they did come out with a modern day film camera, believe me, I would cover it on this show. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club business, all sorts of goodies. Again, because I'm not doing workshops, I've been busy in the Mad Scientist Laboratory. I just want to remind that our Patreon members all have access to the Ripping and Cataloging Audio CDs title. If you want to get some of your CD music into your digital library, I really walk you through all the steps to do it. It's a lot of fun, and it's great listening to some of that music again. It's really a lot of fun. Also, going on in the world of videos, since it looks like we're going to be staying put for a while, you might want to take a look at my Essential Steps to Impressive Video Conferencing. It is free to Patreon members, to our Inner Circle members, and it's also available in the workshop section of the Nimble Photographer. I walk you through the steps for great sound, great video, just really making things look sharp. And now we have all sorts of webcam software out there to make this even easier. If you want to up your game for video conferencing, if you're a Patreon member, you have it right now, just watch it. And if you're not a Patreon member, not an Inner Circle member, you can either sign up to be an Inner Circle member or go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops, and it's waiting for you there. And Digitizing Family Memories course is there as well. That shoebox under your bed, is it driving you crazy? Full of pictures that you have inherited from all sorts of family members. You want to get those scanned. You want to get them in a catalog. You want to do this and not lose your mind. Digitizing Family Memories course is available and will keep you from losing your mind, I promise you. Again, free for our Patreon members and available for purchase, if you're not a Patreon member, at thenimblephotographer.com. I want to take this chance to thank our Inner Circle members, thank our new ones that have just joined us recently for becoming part of the family that supports not only this podcast, but the entire community. I really enjoy you guys and gals. I like having you you know, there to bounce ideas off. I like creating stuff for you. Inspire me to keep making things for you. And I enjoy the support for the podcast, especially in these crazy times that we're in. Support is important as well. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. They are the folks that stand by us month in and month out. They are also the folks that make fabulous printing paper and have everything that you would need for inkjet printing waiting for you. All you have to do is click on the tile that's on every page of the digital story. Go there for ink, go there for paper, go there for envelopes, go there for glassine sleeves, go there for reviews, go there for tutorials on how to make cool things such as fine art cards. It's all waiting for you at Red River Paper. Again, a tile on every page of the digital story. And if you want to hang out with other people who also enjoy inkjet printing, then go over to their Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. They are some cool folks over there, and you can get your printing nerd on with other printing nerds. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this show. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I am dying to hear what you guys have to say about workshops in the future. I will feed that information back to you next week. We'll talk a little bit more about it. Until then, have a great week. Stay safe out there. Bye-bye now.